welcome to Neighborhood Church. To learn more about who we are as a community or to financially support Neighborhood, go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org. Enjoy the message.
All right, here we go. All right, do I have a treat for all of you guys? We are starting a brand new series, and we are reading out of the Psalms. Some people might call it Psalms. Anybody? Psalms? Mike? We're all there. It's so... If you are newer to the Neighborhood, one thing that you need to know about me is I love chaos. And if you know, if you're even around me, you kind of probably already guessed that I'm a youth pastor at heart. And so having movement and kids talking, it makes my heart very, very happy. Actually, I don't remember who it was. Someone texted me and said that they've always wanted to be a part of a church where kids can just be themselves, loud, moving around. Because I remember being a kid. And that was, no, that was not. Only time in the church I grew up in that you got to run around is when we were running around yelling at the devil, right? Like, we hate the devil. And everyone's like, woo-woo, no devil. So today, though, we're not talking about that. We're talking about music. I love music. Now, it's interesting because did you guys know that I was in a band? No big deal. I played the maracas. So in a band called Stella. And one time we got to play at the band shell at Pinehurst Park. It was great. What's that? It's only the greatest music venue in the entire world. You're welcome. So who's Stella? What is not Stella is what I'd say, all right? It was just a band that made it for one show, all right? Thanks for bringing it up, Barrett. So I told you I played maracas. So it was not great. But I also played music in a worship band when I was in, like, junior high and high school, and I was the guy that they'd like, hey, we're going to practice. I'm like, practice? Music? Who practices music? We play three chords, G, C, D, over and over again, maybe E minor to make it mystical, and they're like, you can't play with this anymore. I'm like, that's fine, which is funny because I love practicing. I practice golf all the time, not just play golf. I'll go practice golf like I'm pretending to play. I practice my message. Some of you guys are like, no, you don't. I do, all right? All right? I do at least three times. I really have no problem practicing, but when it comes to music playing, it just was not my thing. But music has been a part of my life. I remember being a kid and listening to Denny. Who is the greatest band to ever exist? Molly and the Haymakers. I knew I could call it. Does anyone know Molly and the Haymakers? All right. Okay, yeah, the best. All right? Hand of God, if you ever find an album of Molly and Haymakers, Denny will give you $500, all right? I every time I go to a used music store, I look for Molly and Haymakers. I once spent an hour looking for them online. I don't think they existed. I think it's a cruel joke. So, but I remember listening to the Four Seasons. I remember listening to Paul Simon. And I have a lot of good memories with that. I think of raising my kids on Wilco, my favorite band, and when they were little, they would dance to it, then they turned into like sixth graders, and like, oh my God, Dad, I don't like this music. You know who loves Wilco? All of them, right? They will never admit it, but I hear them singing like, how to cure loneliness, right? I'm like, that's my kid. And now, I love 80s and 90s country music. Anyone else? I love it, right? I really do. And so sometimes I'll hear downstairs, I'll hear George Strait playing, and I'm like, I did right as a father. I did something right. But I think of like seasons in my life that were really good and also incredibly hard, and music was a part of it. When I was a youth pastor in a small town in Wisconsin, I would go around in every chair before Wednesday night, and I'd put on worship music, and I'd pray over every chair. I don't do that anymore. I'm sorry. You guys are all fending for yourself. Go, what? But there was a season where that really meant something to me. Micah, I also did it when you were in youth group. Don't worry, all right? You're welcome. And worship music made me feel connected to something larger. But oddly enough, sometimes, for some people, worship music was like their way of connecting with God. It was like what they was their main way. And for me, it just never has been. But music has still helped me like connect. Like one time, in college, on a holiday weekend at like midnight, me and a bunch of my college friends got on a pontoon boat and went into the middle of the lake. And what do? In the middle of the lake on a holiday weekend when you're in college, right? We didn't drink or smoke. We played worship music, all right? That's what we did, all right? We were rock stars, all right? Tom, don't judge me. Right? He's like, I remember playing the last song that we just sang, Psalm 121, I Lift My Eyes Up, and it was a way. It was the only worship song I knew at the time that I could memorize, all right? But it also made me feel connected to this idea of lifting my eyes up to something higher and wider. And that season of my life, it just felt really good to me. And that's what worship music's supposed to do. We don't just sing songs. You're like, we're a church. We're supposed to sing songs. We sing songs because of the words that, well, they're not in there. The words that are we're singing mean something to someone at some point and could mean something to us somewhere at some point. Do you guys know this is how hymns were created? Hymns were created because people, A, didn't, like, always read. The Bible wasn't always accessible. But there was musicians or artists that would, like, write these songs as a way of passing along theology or doctrine or dogma. Ways you can memorize without even knowing it. Right? And maybe not all of it was super helpful. Like, Onward Christian Soldier, you know, probably doesn't help the white Christian nationalist movement. Well, actually, it helps that movement a lot, right? But it doesn't help the rest of us, right? But they were, you know, still trying to get theology, ways of thinking about God, into the lives of people because it was like a little earworm, right? And it was just like circling your head, and you're like, oh, I'm okay. Like, I'm going to be able to get through this. And you could sing a song. You'd reflect about God. You could meditate. And that is what worship music is. That's what the Psalms are just ways to for the artists to communicate what they were feeling at that time. Do I think the psalmist really wrote these things to us 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years later? Like Chris Sutter's going to sing this song on a pontoon in the middle of a lake someday. No, but I'm thankful because for that moment, A, I impressed now my wife then with my sweet velvety voice. Yes, please, right? And also, it got me through some really, really hard times. So for this summer, not for the entire summer, but for a little bit, we're going to be looking at some Psalms. And really my goal is, A, I always want to help equip people to possibly, if you are in a place where you want to pick up the Bible, and there's a lot of us who are like, no, thank you. But if you are, maybe the Psalms can lift you to a place that maybe you need to be. Maybe you can engage the Bible in a way that has maybe not always been your an accessible way. My goal is to help you maybe rethink what God is and maybe what the Bible can be. All right, so Psalm 121 says this. Oh, I think we even have an actual slide because we're a real church, right? Psalm 121 says, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And I love this because the way you think about God matters. I say this all the time, but it really does. Because the way you thought about your body, right? I shouldn't pick on anyone when we're talking about the body. Or me. Pick on me, right? The way I thought about my body when I was 25 and the way I think about my body now that I'm about to turn 45 are quite different. And why? Because I'm not 25 anymore, right? I'm not out running X amount of miles every day. The way I eat has had to change. What I drink has had to change. The way that I even think about my body's had to change because I had to be kinder to myself because as I age, I realize some things need to adapt. So the way I had to think about my body had to change because my body changed. Does God change? Maybe. Do you change? Absolutely. So maybe as we change, we might need to think about how we think about God might need to change and evolve as well. Right? The Psalms is a way of a guy, this person thinking about reality, about love, about pain, about anger, about belonging, and some of it's great and some of it's really hard, and he's conveying all of it. And it's almost, as you read from psalm to psalm, it feels like the way he's thinking about God is changing from one song, one poem to the next. Why? Because that day is different. So as we think about God, there's going to be things that we need to change and that help us survive. It helps us stay in relationship with God. It helps us stay in relationship with one another. The way I think about, man, I just celebrated, how long have I been married? 22 years last week, 2 weekends ago, right? Yeah, 22, right? The way Nikki and I, the way we started our marriage, do you guys know that in our wedding, we had 30 minutes of worship? Yeah, thank you for laughing, Mom. I can't believe, if I walked it, and is anyone here inviting me to a wedding recently? No, I don't think so. All right. If you have 30 minutes of worship and I happen to be marrying you, I'm the biggest fan, right? If I happen, someone else that I barely know, and I go to the wedding, they're like, hey, we're going to have 30 minutes worship. I'm like, I'll be back in 35 minutes, my man. Right? And I cried for 45 minutes before I got married. 45. And then I cried for another, probably all through worship. I think I stopped crying when I got up to, like, after worship, I got up and I'm like, okay, I have to act like I know what I'm doing, right? I don't even know why I'm telling you I'm crying. Oh, because we had this music. Where am I going? I don't even know. Anyways, so back to Psalm 121. I was talking about theology. I was talking about the ways we think about change. Yeah, I'm completely lost. All right. I practiced this 3 times. I did. I did it 2 times this morning, Barrett. All right. All right, so Psalm, thinking, oh, maybe, whatever. All right, so I lift my eyes up to the mountains. The way we think about God matters. That's where I was going, right? If you think about God being all-knowing and all-powerful and all-loving, that's how most people think about God because it makes us feel good. There's a God who knows me, who God has power to change and swoop in and save the day. And why? Because this God loves me. And that can make you feel really good. In my experience, it doesn't play out that way. There's been times that I feel God has swooped in and saved the day. Not always. Sometimes it feels like God is, like, as interested in what's going to happen as I am. God's eating the popcorn meme. They're sitting there eating, like, let's figure out what happens, right? Because the way you think about God, if you think about God as being God can just save the day, the way you read verse 1, where does my help come from, can sound like, where does my help come from? Right? It could be like George Costanza's angry father, all right? Where does my help come from? Right? It's like I need something from somewhere that's somewhere else to come in right here because I'm not okay. Another way of thinking about it is the psalmist could have just woke up and looked outside and saw some hills. Because these mountains, sorry to break it to you, are not like the Swiss Alps, right? It's not like the Rocky Mountains how we think, right? There's going to be some mountain-ish stuff, right? It might even be like Duluth. People say, that's a mountain. We're like, hey, get out here. Go back to Wisconsin, right? So these are our mountains, Eagle Mountain, Ely Mountain, right? It's a hill, but we call them mountains. So they could be looking out and just observing, saying, this is a part of my everyday experience, right? It could be a metaphor of there's these hills, these mountains that I have to go through. Sure. It also could be like part of pagan worship was to take a hill or a tree or a sacred place, maybe one of these mountains, and call it holy or sacred. And they found meaning. And that word pagan, does that make you feel happy inside? It makes you, maybe some of you, right? It's a word that we have turned into making it feel like pagan, ooh, dance around the fire, drink blood, right? That could be, who knows, right? But pagan is just a word we use to differentiate from a different, like, mainstream group, right? It's like, pagans might be like Norse gods, a whole community of people, a whole culture that worshipped their version of God for generations, generations, generations. And we just said, yeah, those pagans. Why? Because us Christians are so great. We do everything right like the Crusades, right? So we throw these labels on people to differentiate mainly to make us feel better. Like Gentiles. We're here because there's this whole thing called Gentiles that got included into this mainstream, this version of Judaism. You have to remember that Jesus Christ was never a Christian. Sorry to break the news to you, right? Jesus is still a rabbi, still Jewish, right? He's going strong, right? And we are included into this beautiful thing of reality, of spirituality, of of faith. And so they could be looking at it and say, does my help come from that hill in the way that other people think about it? It's like, maybe. Could the mountains be this metaphor of pain, of resistance, of difficult things in their life? Sure. And that's what I love about this. We can find different interpretations, we can find different meanings, but it's not something to be to run away from. In these, again, very snapshot of just two verses in this whole mystical book, but it doesn't feel like you could read it as a threat, but it doesn't have to be a threat. There's the idea of like the mountains are just a part, these hills are just a part of our everyday life. It's a, we have to walk through difficult things in our life. We all want to avoid it. Because the psalmist could say, I lift my eyes up to the mountains, where does my help come from? I don't know, but I'm never going that direction. I'm just going to live here and never moving. And we have all been there. You see something hard come, you're like, no, I don't want to have to go do my taxes. I'm just going to stop paying taxes, right? Don't do that, right? It might be I have to have this hard conversation with my partner, and I'm just not going to have it. I need to have a hard conversation about my body. I need to have a hard conversation about something that I'm doing. I'm just not going to have it. Why? Because we're afraid of pain. We're afraid of whatever it might be. But here, it doesn't have to be a threat. I read, I don't remember who wrote this, but they talked on when we go through the mountains, we go through the hills where this path, it is just a normal part of life. It is in those hard places that we're forged. It's in those hard places that the things are awakened inside of us that we might not have been able to discover if it wasn't for the hardship, if it wasn't for the pain. I look back at my life, not even the last 20 years, even like the last, man, we could, honestly, if we had a whiteboard up here and we just said, what did you learn since COVID, right? What you learned in your professional job, what you learned about finances, what you learned about your friends, what you learned about conspiracy theories, right? What you learned about faith. We did church 14, 15 months on my iPhone. That was, like, I just talked to a little black brick, and we'd get done, and I would cry for, like, imagine that. I'd cry for, like, 20 minutes because I was craving this community, but it, at the same time, it was a really sweet moment. There's things that I discovered about faith, my marriage, parenting, life. I went into seminary, right? If we avoid the mountains, if we avoid the pains, there's things that we totally miss out. But here's what I love. Verse 2. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. If you think about God being somewhere else, something else that needs to come in and swoop in and save the day, then you're going to read, oh, God, the maker of heaven and earth from outside is going to create new things just for me. That's one way of thinking about it. Instead, a way of thinking about this is everything we need, God has already created. I look to the mountains. Where does my help come from? It comes from God. And what is God? God is love. Where do we experience God? Where do we experience love? Hopefully, everywhere we go is a possibility for us to connect with God. We don't always need some supernatural thing. We don't always, I mean, we always want it. Do you guys know why we want something supernatural? Any guesses? Because then we don't have to do anything, right? It's just a miracle. It just happened. We can't explain it. We're like, I'm debt free. How'd it happen? I have no idea. It's a miracle, right? How did you get through your anxiety? I have no idea. It was a miracle. And it can happen. I've experienced a miracle. And can I explain it? No. Is it problematic for my view of theology? Big time. Am I thankful? 1,000%. I don't believe I live in a cold world. I believe in a world that is alive, that's benevolent, filled with the joy and mystery of God. That's true. At the same time, what I've learned is I get to experience God by trying to figure things out with her, with God. And so everything, if God made the heaven and earth, then maybe everything we need might be around us, and it might be in that therapist. It might be in that SSRI. It might be in your running shoes. It might be in this magical, mystical little thing called my dog, Chance, who is Nikki's dog, and I just live in their world. I get to observe the world of Nikki and the dog, and then Chance, once in a while, mainly because I have food, comes up and sits next to me, and I pretend that he loves me. And I'm enough for that. And in those stolen little moments, it feels like heaven. It might be watching Seinfeld. It might be singing silly songs with your kids. It might be, for me, thinking about music, we turn on, my son just brought it up, this average electronic dance music song called Helicopter. I used to play at youth group way back in the day, right? And I turn on, and when my kids are little, they just start like, Helicopter, and we'd all start dancing. And just recently turned it on, our kids are like, I really like the song. I'm like, yeah, because when you're four, you'd lose your mind, right? What we need to be able to get through the day coming from God sometimes is just paying attention to the things around us. Sometimes looking where help comes from and looking mountains just means we just take inventory of where we're at. If the author wakes up and says there's these mountains, you might wake up and say, I'm lonely. And is that bad? It can be. Another way of thinking about it is, it's true. Today, in this moment, right now, you might be lonely. And what am I willing to do to work through it? Because everything I need, God put around me. Does that mean I need to have 500 friends? No. What it might mean is I just need to acknowledge I'm lonely. And there's seasons in my life where loneliness is just more prevalent. There's seasons in my life where I feel like I am just so connected to people. There's times where I feel like I'm killing it in my professional job. That's every Sunday, by the way, right? There's times where I feel like I'm an utter failure when it comes to my job. There's times where I feel like I am the best dad and the worst dad, and that can be from one conversation, one kid to the next. And the reality is, I'm just Chris, who happens to be a dad, who happens to be a pastor, who happens to be a husband, who happens to be a son, who happens to be a brother, who happens to be a friend, who happens to be a stranger, right? And all of it can belong. Why? Because when I lift my eyes up, there is challenges, there's mountains, there's valleys, there's rivers, there's Jay Cook, there's a Spur gas station right down the road. There's everything I might need is right there. If I'm awake to it, if I remember it, and here's the key thing, if I'm willing to embrace it, if I'm willing to move towards it. Because even though you might know where the help is, you're like, where does my help come from? Sometimes just asking the question can be enough. And sometimes we just want to ask questions because we just want to feel the feel. Like I feel like I say this once a month, but I'm very proud of it. I have an entire playlist that's just called Cry. I do. Because I've learned I don't need to go out and, I'm not going to swear because I'm a pastor. So I want to go out and process my anger. I want to go process my loneliness. I want to go process my sadness. And that can help. And it's sometimes really helpful. But sometimes I've learned I just need to cry. I just need to feel what I feel. That's me looking and saying, oh, I have these things. Where does my help from? Help comes from sad songs by Kenny Chesney talking about his kid growing up and leaving him forever, right? Sometimes that's enough. So here's what we're going to do. Susie's going to come back up, and we're going to sing this song one more time. Psalm 121. And as we sing it, we're going to do two things. I'm telling you before, you don't need to do it yet. I will prompt you. But we're going to do this thing from the charismatic Pentecostal tradition. We're going to stand while we sing. I know. Look at us little evangelical worship people, all right? We are going to stand. And if you want to, here, right, us Nordics, if you feel like you want to do this, let the Spirit move you, right? If you feel like you want to raise your hand, go ahead. If you feel like you need to sit back down, you can do that as well. But the reason that we're going to stand, it's not some magic trick. God's not like up there and she's like, mm-mm, they're not standing. They don't really love me. How bad do you want it, Chris, right? Standing is just a way of using our body. Sometimes it changes the energy, right? Like when the encore of the favorite band comes out, you're sitting and everyone else stands up and they're encoring. You're like, I don't want to look like the one dude that's not happy this band's playing, so you feel guilted into it. There's going to be plenty of you here. So we're going to stand. as a way of using our body and our energy. And secondly, maybe throughout the week, you might feel something. You might feel difficult. You might feel like you see the mountains in your life, or you feel lonely, or you feel like, I just need something to add value. Maybe this song could add value to you, to remind you that everything you need is always around you. So we're going to sing, and when we're done, Susie's going to pray, and then we're going to wrap up. So after the song, if you want to come up and pray, process, chat, I would love to do that. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Please stand.
God, so we just thank you that you are our help in time of need. And as we go from here today, just put that reminder with us and also make us aware of those in need of us.